Hello, you guys. Welcome to episode 3 of season 2 of Just in High Vibe, a podcast all about self-love, manifestation, wellness, and small business. And today I have a special guest, my friend Marco, who runs a small business with his wife. And today we decided a really good topic to discuss would be 10 biggest mistakes that small business owners make, especially in the beginning. Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, so my name's Marco. You don't need to know about this. But I own a print shop, Sunny Side Up Print, and it's here in Santa Ana, California. Small local print shop. So I've been in business since 2016. It was kind of on and off. But since COVID hit, messed everything up. It was a struggle, but I pulled through. Somehow.
Yeah, we both did. I'm still like trekking along.
Yeah.
I didn't think that COVID was really going to affect me or my business as much as it did. And I think a lot of small business owners feel the same way. I personally know 3 small business owners who actually shut down or are shutting down their business just because of inflation and, you know, they just got grounded a little.
I know a lot of restaurants.
Yeah. So moving into 2024, we're like, huh, ready.
Super pumped, super ready, super. I mean, we're still trying to prepare, kind of strategizing on everything. That's what I was doing earlier. We're trying to crunch numbers, strategize, do all these things that actually I did not do. back then.
Yeah.
So that's one of the struggles.
Okay. So the top 10 mistakes that small business owners make, or at least that we did when starting out our business and maybe kind of lingered into 2020, 2 years later, like we got a little, most of it under control. These are not really in any order, but I'm just going to start with number 1. When you first start a business, I think when you start scaling and making really good money, it's really easy to overpay employees or freelancers, especially if they're your friends or your family and, you know, you don't have a strict budget. Or for me, I really overpaid for minimum wage work a lot with freelancers, marketing agencies, assistants, friends and family. And I didn't really even realize like I was overpaying them that much until a couple years later when I looked at my book and I had a partner be like, that's crazy. You're paying them like 40% over minimum wage for like minimum wage work, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So have you ever had that happen to you before?
I mean, recently. You know, I mean, a lot of my stuff that I do, it's super simple, like folding bag stuff that you've been kind of do at home, you know, do stuff like that. It's no brainer. But if people are asking like 17, 18, 20, even 20 to do that stuff, they're like, what? No.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard. The hardest part is like hiring the right person for the right rate.
I think the hardest part for me was learning how to delegate. It wasn't my strong suit. And until I really got like systems and processes down, and even now with some of my virtual assistants, if it's not documented, it's like you explain it so many times. I spent so many years just not delegating properly.
I mean, yeah, me too. You know, I mean, with any small business, it's like trial and error. So I went through that phase. And I mean, I think I still am.
Yeah.
It's a learning curve. It's so much kind of really putting the pieces together. It's like a puzzle. You know?
I know. And it's so hard when like you just want to be the visionary or if you just want to, like, I'm good at social media, I feel like, and marketing and design. And when you kind of are a one-man show, I feel like it's so easy to get burnt out because you don't want to do the tedious stuff or you don't think the tedious stuff is important, which kind of goes to my next point, which is as a small business owner, it's really important to be 100% on top of your bookkeeping.
Right.
And for the first 2 years I started, I overpaid a bookkeeper. I think I was paying her $500 a month. She was doing an amazing job, though. But the moral is, I had no idea what my books looked like. I just let her manage it for me and file my taxes for me.
Right.
And that made me also not stick to a budget, because I was just like, money was coming in, money was going out.
Right.
I didn't want to do the accounting. And so I just hired someone to do it for me. And she did a great job. But, you know, she might have missed. Documented
certain thing.
Yeah, and I just had no idea. I didn't even check.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing with me. Like, in the beginning stages, it's like, yeah, money's coming. And you're just kind of blinded by that. Like, yeah, let's go. Let's vacation or whatever. Like, spend something here and there. And I was making good money. Like, it was something new. I mean, not really, but I had other business before, but, you know, I was actually did my job.
Yeah.
But before I had it, worked with other people and had partners.
Yeah.
So, you know, doing this myself is challenging. Everything is literally, like, overwhelming sometimes. You're like, especially if you get a lot of orders, like, I'm gonna make sure they get to the right address. So with me too, I just got to make sure quality is there.
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot doing everything yourself when you're just starting out, or you're just rebranding, or you're kind of like coming up again. And I think a lot of business owners that I've seen, and that's been modeled to me as well, like even my parents, like delegating has been really hard. But the number one lesson I learned is, like, you have to be in charge of your finances. Yeah. And know, like, where every dollar is going.
Right.
And sometimes I'll get months behind. I don't even want to look at it, but I'm like, I have to. Like, it's like the foundation of your business.
Yeah. Everything is down to the penny. So that's what we're trying to figure out right now, is like, it's punching out numbers down to the penny, how much you spend. So it's very important to understand the numbers.
Yeah, and that goes to my next point, which is, if you are a business owner in California, it's really important that you file your state taxes on time.
Right.
Otherwise, you will get fined. And it wasn't until this year, like 5 years later in my business, that I realized that there's apps that you could use.
Now?
Yeah, but maybe like when we started, it was so tedious.
Right.
Like, can you believe your wife did that, right?
Yeah.
You have to go in there. And they just make it so difficult, and if not difficult, tedious, and just.
It's not meant for somebody like us, or like, you just have to hire someone that understands that stuff.
Yes. Or if you are a small business owner, especially if you use Shopify, there is an app called TaxJar that I highly recommend. I think it's about $14 a month. And they will file your state taxes for you. It's kind of a process. You have to link it. And they will also, if you don't want them to file it for you, they will go ahead and document all your taxes so it's ready to go when you plug in. Because if you've never filed state taxes as a small business owner in California, it's really hard to comprehend. Like, you have to file every single payment income that you've received per order, per county, per city in California.
Mm.
So it's really tedious.
How does it work if it's somewhere else?
So, well, yeah, I think depending on how much you make in other states, you might have to file taxes, but I just know, like, where you're registered, that you have to file state income tax. But I would definitely recommend TaxJar on Shopify.
We use
That's a payment processor or not?
No, it's for tax.
How much do they charge?
$27.
Oh, no, I think he used Bench.
Okay. Is that? Okay.
Bench is really good as well. Your wife told me.
Yeah, Bench. That's what we're doing.
So Bench is really amazing. It's, I think it's $400 a month, but it's worth the money. And they help you manage your books really easily. It's way better than QuickBooks. QuickBooks is so complicated and yeah, a lot cheaper, but I think Bench would be amazing. So if you want to use Bench for your accounting and then TaxJar to manage all of your state taxes, I would highly recommend that. And I wish that's something I did the very first year I started.
Right. I mean, is there like a starting point of when you should start doing these things? Maybe like an amount you make, let's say you're making $5,000. Yeah, you should start doing it.
I don't know. I think when you're just starting out as a small business owner, I used to tell people this too. You don't want to invest in all of this stuff until you know that you can bring sales in.
Yeah.
Because I've had a lot of people invest in a website and then they spend, you know, $400 a month on Bench accounting when they could probably just manage it themselves at that point because they're not making that much. I think it's hard to put a number on it, but you want to focus on sales first before you want to focus on all of the intricate stuff. Like, depending also on how small of a business you are, like, for example, let's just say you're a stay-at-home mom and you want to make candles for fun on the side. I would not even file for an LLC and do all of that crazy stuff that's going to cost $800 a year plus a filing fee until you know that you can make a little bit of sales. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you have an investor, a few angel investors, you have a business plan, you know, you have a business marketing plan to, you know, make a certain amount and you're in this and like 100%, then yeah, I would, you know, start all of this from the front if you have that capital for sure. But I also just depend.
It really depends.
Yeah.
How much you're breaking, how much sales you're doing every month. So,
because I've seen so many of my small business owners, friends who have this passion or this hobby, and they do all the right things. You know, they invest in the website and the Shopify and then the Shopify app and then the business account and then the LLC and then the trademark, and they don't make any money because it
adds up.
It definitely adds up. Like, every amount of fees that we pay, I think it's a lot. Like, Shopify, you pay a transaction on every fee and then a tax on every fee and then rent, electricity, warehouse, shipping, inventory. It's a lot.
Yeah. And then I guess the more you grow, the people you hire, you know, you have to take into account, like, you know, their salary and stuff like that. I started doing this at home, like, zero overhead in the garage.
Me too.
So now, shit, we have, we're paying like in the thousands of overhead. That's just the reality of it, and you have to understand that, and you have to take it all in. Like I said, it's all about the numbers, and then do what is necessary to use what type of app that makes sense for the income. Yeah.
That leads to my point number four, which is when I first started my business six years. I've just been doing this forever, but I did not negotiate with my supplier.
Ooh, how is that? What did you do?
Well, okay, let me explain. So every month when I very first started, I made my own products and then I got a manufacturer. But then at some point around in 2019 to 2020, I transitioned to a monthly subscription box. And so it was still all of my products, but I was still doing a lot of other vendors in my box. So I was constantly ordering inventory on a monthly basis and I was scaling really quickly, like had thousands of boxes to ship out. And at this point, money was just coming in and I also wasn't on top of my budget and I was not negotiating price. So they would just give me a price and I would pay it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, how many units were you doing every month?
At the highest, like 2,000 units.
Oh.
But times five.
And then you're like, that's how much it is. Okay, pay it, boom.
Yeah, so I was going way over my budget. And I also feel like I'm such a good negotiator now. If you guys haven't read The Art of the Deal by Trump, I love that book. But negotiating is so powerful because you kind of realize, like, everyone is just like us.
Yeah.
And so, like, the power of negotiation, like, even if you go to a swap meet, like, you could be like, all right, we need 5, we need 10. But when I first started out, like, at the peak of my highest in sales, I wasn't negotiating with any of my suppliers. And I feel like you can negotiate across, you can negotiate for almost anything.
Anything, even a car.
Yeah, definitely.
A house. I think as long as you're doing also, you're dealing with cash, negotiate. If you're going to buy a car, you go, hey, I learned this to somebody. If you're going to go buy a car, you can say, hey, can I pay cash, you know, for a certain amount, like under whatever the tag price is. And they'll do it because you're paying cash. And then what you do, you come back, you know, you basically had a set price that they said, oh, like 50,000, 60,000. You come back and say, okay, you know what? I'm actually just going to do it in credit. So that's like a smarter way of doing it. So you don't have to spend all your cash. And then you basically got a good deal.
Yeah, you know? I love that. There's so many ways that you can use the power of negotiation. And I feel like during the height of my biggest scale and also like starting to get really short on cash and freak out, I realized a year later, I just wasn't negotiating my power. And I also feel like because I was like a girl and a small business owner by myself, no partners, like I kind of got taken advantage of a little because I was just paying like these prices that they would just stay off the first jump.
And you didn't know, right? You didn't know the actual kind of good prices for the item.
I just think I realized how low suppliers are willing to go, like especially for wholesale, and then for a subscription box, it's almost even half of wholesale because they want to use it as marketing power,
right? Because it's also a constant thing every month.
Yeah,
you're gonna reorder, order. So to them, that's good.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Well, so not every month. I wouldn't reorder every single month.
Oh, it depends on season.
Okay, we actually already went over 5 and 6 too, which go hand in hand with not delegating tasks correctly, like not making SOPs with just systems of processes, which I feel like are so tedious, but very important. Like on paper, like this is the system of the process of like how to do this.
Right.
And even when I tried to make those in 2020, like I just feel like it was really hard to stick to. With especially like employees or virtual assistants or graphic designers.
Oh yeah, it's really tough. I tried doing that, but then again, like hire certain people that stuff for them their ways. I just hired. I don't want to put it on blast, but I hired somebody to do a certain task, sprinting. But sometimes certain people are kind of like stuck in their ways, always working with other companies, you know, and today there's new technologies, new ways of doing things, easier, faster, better. So when you're trying to apply that a system in place, it's really tough for certain people to follow it. It takes a while. Sometimes you have to just let go too. Like if they can't do it, you have to fire. So to me, you have to, because you're dealing with, you know, your income base. Like you have to just let them go because you're spending money. You know what I mean? Like you don't want to waste your resource. So you have to let them go, hire a new one, and try to get the right person in place. And also to do that system
and delegate and really explain to them like hands on multiple times so they know. And that's how I was too. Like last year, like I would hire people and then you just think like I could do this better or faster. But then you get into that cycle of being an owner where you try to continue to take everything on, but you can't.
Yeah.
And you get burnt out because you didn't delegate correctly. You're looking at someone being like, this isn't how I want it done. And you also aren't doing a good job and I'm paying you like thousands of months. So I'll just do it. And then it's like a cycle that you have to get out of.
It's so hard. It's so difficult. I think that is one of the most hardest part of being an owner is just trying to find somebody just kind of just like you.
Which I don't know if that's even possible.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe we can manifest someone like this new year. I think it might be possible, but
they just got to share maybe the same passion, same
work
vision,
ethic,
work ethic,
or just wanting to learn and like.
Yeah, you know, I think that's what it is, but it's very hard to find. It's really hard to find.
So number 7 of top 10 mistakes that small business owners make, especially when scaling, is when you start making a certain amount of money on your business account, you get hit up left and right by people who want to give you loans. And at the height of 2020 and 2021, I was grossing a lot, but I also wasn't really in charge of my book, wasn't negotiating, and wasn't sticking to a budget on top of wearing every other hat. At that point, I had a fulfillment center, which was also amazing, but I was kind of overpaying them as well. So as quickly as money was coming in, it was also going out. And at one point, I was like, okay, well, I need a loan. And at this point, I was just in the middle of scaling, still living my life, like traveling, making content. And I didn't really understand all the options that I had out there when I was starting, you know, such as getting an investor, getting a business loan, maybe from a bank that has a lower percentage rate. And so I just took the two loans that like approved me immediately overnight. You know, I ended up taking out a lot in loans, and I didn't think, and the way that the loan structure was, is they're kind of like shark capital loans where they'll loan you like $100,000, but you just have to pay $110,000 back, but you pay it based off your daily sales.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I took out a loan and it ended up, I took out two loans to front for inventory, you know, for like thousands of boxes we were doing for a 4-month span. And it was amazing because it all came into my bank account. But once it all came into my bank account, I also wasn't 100% on charge of my books and like all of my budget. So they ended up taking 25% of my daily sales until I paid them back. And I know a lot of people end up doing this. And it's really, this type of loan, I feel like, is okay. If you really don't have any other options, you don't have good credit, you don't have an investor or a partner where you could other front cash, or if you're just using it for like $10,000. Like if you're scaling really quickly and you're like, all right, the numbers are already there. Let's budget for the 25% it's going to take out, and let's get this capital up front and use it to the marketing to put towards ads so we can triple our income.
Right. I think that would have been
good. That would have been good. But so for, I am, all of those loans are paid back, but it was really tough getting 25% taken out of my daily sales.
Yeah. that's a struggle.
Have you ever taken out loans like that?
Yeah, actually, not that much, because I know how loans are. It's a scary situation, but I mean, that's how business works, though. They take out loans, restaurants take out big ass loans.
Yeah, I know so many companies have gone bankrupt because I think what's crazy is like, we're still small and like we have big dreams, like we're dreamers and we're visionaries.
Right.
And it's exciting when you get to own your own business, but it also comes with so much stress, you guys. I can't even stress that enough. But I think like my Roman Empire is how these other big companies, they start out just like us and then they scale up so big. And when you are scaling that big, no matter how much income you're making, you're going to need loans or investors. And then next thing you know, like 8 years later, they're bankrupt. Like that always like it.
I mean, it's kind of like owning a house. You have to get a loan unless you have the money, but you always have to get a loan. That's how the economy works. You get a loan no matter what, you know? So
I think my biggest advice to anyone starting out in their business is you have to put all of your profit back into your business and do not take out a loan. Like that's what you have to do
right,
to be successful. The goal should be not to take out a loan ever.
Just recycle it and put away your taxes, guy.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's another thing.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Every month you got to take money out, put it aside for your taxes. And always put your profits back into your business. And this might sound so amateur, like to someone, but if you don't have your own business, or you've never started your own business, or you aren't a small business owner, it is kind of hard to relate, because you might be like, oh, that's so obvious. Like, of course I would do that. But I feel like it's a lot. Like, and I feel like I've also received this advice too, but when you're in the thick of feet, it's hard to apply it. And you got to learn the hard way a little bit. And I feel like I definitely have.
Yeah. The learning curve.
So number 8 of 10 top 10 mistakes small business owners make is, once they start making good money, they stop learning and studying and stop getting lessons. I know that I did, at least. And it's not because I thought I knew everything. I just like felt so overwhelmed with everything on your plate. But I stopped, you know, learning how to do certain things better, you know, as far as marketing, advertising, coding, graphic design, delegating. I didn't get as many mentors as I would have liked when I just kind of went to school, and the profile change and influence like a good mentorship can have. And so I think when you're scaling, making money, and just sort of in the thick of everything, it's really easy to, oh, I don't need to invest in a mentorship or an online course, marketing course. Like, for example, so like, one of my business partners or other people that I know, they might think that they know how to do everything. Social media is so hard. Something that worked in 2020 might not work in 2022. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it evolves. And reels, it evolves. And so I think just using that as an example, like really studying the trends of marketing and how to market better instead of just doing what you've always done, that might not.
Right. It's yeah.
I know it is. And I started out as an influencer blogger, so raw and open and authentic to my followers. And then I had like a huge shift in myself where I got rid of a few of like the beliefs I used to believe. And I also just wasn't inspired to share as much. I document my every move, and I really like caused a dip in sales, which I think is now I'm like, okay, I need to study what's really working on TikTok. And what's working is
the weirdest things.
And just be like, I saw this quote the other day, and it was like, there's two types of creators. There's one creator that creates just to sell, and then there's another creator that sells. No, I forget what it was, but basically it was saying like there's two types of small business owners: one that's posting every day solely to get a sale, and one that creates content just to create content because they love it. That first,
right? There's a lot of those I've seen, but I think it's just shifting to just this like social media. Like, you know, it's not. I think this is one of the things we should talk about is like the art of this. You know, obviously we use social media as like our main source to really put ourselves out there, you know, to let people know about our business. And it's just exhausting. You have to wake up with a smile on your face. Even though, like, most don't feel like that.
Yeah, there's, like, no money in the baby account.
Yeah.
Like, smile.
Well, like, look at me, I'm doing awesome here. Like, yeah, today I'm going to do this. I'm going to print this. Look at me. Yeah, I just freaking paid my rent and I'm broke or something like that. It's just, man, that's the reality, you know, with small business. But sometimes it's good. You feel good. You come in like, let's go, let's do this. I feel good, you know? So it's an up and down battle, pretty much. You know, it's very, for business owners, it's very personal. This is like our life. This is us. We do.
I know. And it's so true. And I feel like the only way to be really successful in your business now is to share every moment of the journey. And sometimes it's like, I just want something from it. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know. That's where I feel that so hard, because social media was once something that gave me a community. And I still am so thankful for our customers and our community that's been like hugging with me since I couldn't do anything. I love that so much. But it's been really hard lately since 2020 to kind of nurture that in a way that's authentic, because I think a lot of us have been maybe going through things in life and we don't always want to show up on social media and like cry about something. But the small business owners that do, I feel like go viral. And so it's this like mind battle and mind fuck of like, you don't want to post just to sell, but you also have to post because you have to make sales. But then you also want to be authentic and build a community based on your personality and based on the lifestyle of your brand. But then you also like don't want to come off too salesy.
Mm-hmm.
But then you constantly have to put content out there.
Right.
Especially if you don't have a marketing budget to scale and do ads. And then now the ads are, markets are so competitive. I remember when Facebook ads came out hardcore in 2020, it was like a gold rush.
Yeah.
And
using
Google scaled a lot on Facebook ads and it was amazing. But now Facebook ads have gotten so competitive and everyone is so addicted to their phones that no one wants to be sold anything. So I think that's where it goes back to like getting mentorship and staying in a headspace where we can learn. Like, I want to take it for like really learn how to connect with our audience again and content that's authentic but not salesy, because I haven't mastered.
Right.
Since 2020, like I used to like post my whole life with my followers. I just haven't had the urge to do that anymore.
Yeah, it's just a weird feeling. I think as you grow older, you want, for me, like privacy. I just feel weird. I used to be open, like I didn't care.
I was, yeah.
But it's just weird. Something about like this kind of, you don't want it to be your whole life, especially, you know, your family. You don't want to show your family. You know, this way we come in here and this is all we show. I mean, but I try to show what's outside as well, but being authentic and all that stuff can be really,
yeah,
you know, when you're just, you're human. You just, sometimes you're not feeling good, you know? I don't know.
No, so I think that's the biggest hurdle that I've been going through.
Oh man, let's talk about TikTok.
Yeah,
can we talk about TikTok?
I'm slowly starting to like TikTok, but I'm telling you guys this right now: TikTok and Instagram are so different. So
I don't understand it though, but
I'll give you my understanding. Okay. And then you tell me what you hate. Okay, first of all, I was so against TikTok for, I think, 3 years. Like, I did not want to get on it. I was like, no, I refuse. I am rebelling. Instagram is my bread and butter. I have followers here. I don't have any followers on TikTok. I would post the same thing I was posting on Instagram on TikTok. It never converted. But something clicked in me this year where I actually love TikTok. And this is how we have to use TikTok. I feel like I've cracked the code.
Oh, are you, me.
Okay. TikTok, you literally have to go in the camera on TikTok and talk to the camera.
You have to use the app, pretty much.
No, like you have to talk to TikTok like this. Like TikTok wants to see your face. They want to hear a funny story about you. And it's like a conversation. Like, you can't go on TikTok and like post your product unless it's like in a voiceover. Like, you can't like TikTok. Okay, for example, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Strawberry Milk Mob. She is, I think, a high schooler or a college grad who almost failed her business, from my understanding. And then she got on TikTok to make her business survive. But she doesn't even make TikTok, and she sells bathing suits, and she's killing it. She's got like a million followers as of lately. But she goes on TikTok and she treats it like they're her friends, and she just has these theories like, this is like what I love about guys, for example, or she just posts funny stuff. But like as a business owner on TikTok, I feel like there's so much potential on TikTok, sell on TikTok, client on TikTok, but it is such a different social media. It's not Facebook, it's not Twitter, and it's not Instagram. And TikTok wants us to talk to them, and they want to see the behind the scenes of everything. So it's even worse than Instagram, but the potential is so there. It's crazy.
I think the algorithm is better.
Yeah.
Way better than for whatever reason, I posted something. It got like almost 20K views. It was just a t-shirt going like this. I have no idea why it went to 20K. I have no idea why. I messed up because I didn't do like a all the action thing. It was like, oh, buy this or something like that. I didn't do any of that. So I messed up. I need to do something again like that.
Yeah, going viral is always, but we got to find that consistency, like whatever works and just eat it.
I think that's what it is. Social media, especially TikTok, I think also you have to use the app all the time when you're recording. And you have to constantly post, you know, whatever it is you're posting. But like you said, your face, you're the star, I guess. That's what it's for. You know, it likes organic stories. You can literally be going, I'm going to go wake up now. I'm just going to go to Starbucks, guys. Look at this. I bought a latte macchiato, whatever. And I put, I don't know, butt face as my name for the cup. You know, whatever, like it just likes stuff like that, I guess. And yeah, I guess it the algorithm on it is crazy. I don't know how it works, but somehow people are like, it's crazy to me that every individual that's there somehow like can be a star. Like you can literally be like, you know, there's this guy, my friend, he's told me, he's like, he just does cooking, like freaking like 1 minute video, doing like crazy cooking 1 minute videos. And then he has like 3.6 million.
That's crazy.
I don't understand it. Maybe it's just because the food, I'm like scrolling, like, people are just like, yum. Like, oh, I love this. I'm going to make this. So I don't know. I guess it's just something relatable.
Yeah. I mean, let's take Alex Earl. She posted consistently get ready videos and outfit videos and trends that she's not a good example. She doesn't have business, but maybe she is, because if she were to launch her own small business, she would freaking sell out overnight. So that's what I'm saying. It's like I have to go back to my roots, and we have to really crack the code on TikTok, where if you want to be a small business owner, or if you're in the stage like we are, we feel like we're a monkey doing. We're always sad. But like people on TikTok, which I think is like where we're going now, they just want to see our personality. And I think that's the hardest part, is making content when we have so many other things to do that's authentic. You know, they don't want to be sold anything directly, but they want to be educated.
Right.
They want to be laughed at. They like people, you know, maybe you share a story like, my daughter just broke her leg, and then like they buy 10 shirts and you just for you. Like, it's like this weird community that's really growing on me, but I just haven't cracked the code on like my exact niche of all the things that I want to try to share or really grow my platform. But I guess you just have to throw a bunch of stuff at the wall.
I think that's what it is. I honestly think too, it's like, if you post post certain time Thursday,
I wouldn't.
Things like that, like, but to me, I think like if you just keep posting every, I think something will work, because it'll populate. Because I think, for those boys, the dudes that invented the beer, Happy Dads, was it?
Yeah, Happy Dad.
Yeah, so those guys, they literally started with nothing, and all they did, the number one thing they did right was consistency of posting all the same.
All right, starting tomorrow,
every day
on TikTok. But I'm going to post the same TikTok on Instagram.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
Yep. But every freaking day, I don't even care.
Just do it. Just, I don't know, post whatever.
I already know this works. This is what me and my girlfriend Tessa did. Like, we scaled our business so freaking quickly because we were social media gurus.
Of course, yeah.
But at the time, like, we really focused on trending stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's dying out a little bit. Like, no one wants to see just the trending stuff. They really want to be given value and education and
entertainment.
Yeah. And they want to feel like your best friend. And that's so much easier said than done, because I've done that before. That's how I started my whole entire business. I grew up street. I was very honest with them, and I showed up on social media like it was my diary. But like I, you know, you just hit a point where you don't get to that find media.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. I think it's just my challenge. It's like, wait. And then you just think about it. But you know what? These, like, young kids, they just do it.
I know. You should just post, like, the first one that you're
playing. Yeah. They just do it. Like, I'm going to brush my teeth. You know, whatever. Like, just do it. Post something. And then, obviously, you always have to post, like, whatever. Like me. Printing. Post constantly.
Yeah, I think it's such a fascinating phenomenon now. Like, if you want to be a small business owner and scale your business, you have to be a social media manager. Like, there's no way out of that.
Yeah.
And if your social media sucks, your sales are good.
I still can't believe that's like a thing now.
I know. Like,
before, it wasn't like here. Now it's like social media. Manager, with like 7,000,
which is amazing. I honestly love social media. If I wasn't running my own business, I would definitely be a social media manager. I love it. Like, I mean, I see the benefit. Like, my dad, for example, he's a successful small business owner for his whole life. He runs an amazing real estate company, and he does appraisals. We won in Orange County, and he appraisals that for an amazing price. Hit me up, and I'll give you my dad. So, but yeah, like, he's not on social media, so like the old timers, they depend on Yelp and like Google ads and Facebook ads, and it gets competitive.
Yeah.
Because you really just don't have that.
You got these guys doing drones on like real estate.
Yeah. So that kind of leads to, number 9, as a small business owner, is navigating burnout. Do you navigate? Have you been burnt? I feel like goals are so...
Yeah, I guess it depends on the person. Depends on how much responsibility the person has to take. Wow. Especially like person. But you can get you. No, it's it really just like sometimes.
Okay, wait, let me ask you this. I started my business in hardcore 2018, but I started my blog in 2017. But I always like there's been so many times where, like, I would throw my cell phone at the wall.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, just because you just, no one knows. You're just by yourself. Like, you're trying to manage all this stuff. I think it's really true, at least how you start out, when they say, like, yeah, you might not be working kind of anymore, but you're working. And so it's extremely easy to get burnt out if you are not putting your self-care and your rituals and your wellness first.
That's what I'm kind of getting back into now.
Like, you, I feel like.
Yeah, later tonight, we're actually going to work out. It's been giving me some good sleep. I need some good sleep. Yeah, and also, like, food-wise, you know, I need to get back eating healthy. So, I think
Okay, so what do you think are a few of the biggest indicators or factors that lead up to a burnout? Because many times I feel like we feel it coming on, but we're just so stuck in our ways. So like, what are a few things that have led up to your burnout? And then what are a few things that you do to get out of a burnout? I mean, I've been burnt out for, I feel like, what felt like 2 freaking years, and I'm just now starting to get out of it a little.
I think for me, it's mostly like the idea of letting go of responsibilities, but and it just really like sometimes I gotta just do this myself. And you do it, and you think to yourself, man, I could have just stepped back down. I could have kept took on the job myself. And then, you know, you can get burned out, especially also like not in balance like, with family as well, business and family. You wake up, you come here, go back to the house, get your children, get them to school, come back here. And you kind of like go back to where you left off. Like, where did I leave off? You know, so it's tricky. And then after that, you go back, pick up your children, whatever, like. I guess it depends on like your situation, but getting burnt out, yeah, like that's the reality of also having a business. I think that's kind of like default. Like any business owner, especially small business owners, they will get burnt out. I think it's just like the normal, you know, you just have to find the balance.
Yeah.
You have to figure that out. But you're at like self care is number one, because you can go crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
You just like doing something, you're just smiling, you start laughing, like, oh my God. Woo!
Start crying.
This is amazing. You know, like, you just kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but I just think that the most important thing is just like sometimes you have to just wind down, relax, pause for a bit, breathe, and you kind of, in a way, put yourself in that situation, and you have to figure it out. You know, you have to figure out. I used to take things like every month, like, oh, I got to do this. I got to figure this out. But I think with me, I evolved to doing things day by day,
mm-hmm.
even sometimes hour by hour. I used to get overwhelmed and just kind of like, I got to do this. I got to do that.
Yeah.
You know, just like, but now with me, I'm learning through life, everything, through my personal growth as well, is you have to, with me now, is you take it year by year, month by month. Now I'm taking it like hour by hour. Okay. And within this hour, I'm going to try to finish this. Just one thing, this thing, you know, that's it. And you know, I start doing that, and I think it's getting better.
I love that. I've been doing that a little bit too, because I think the biggest cause of burnout is feeling overwhelmed, taking too much on your plate and ignoring the sign of your body that needs to slow down. And me and Tessa, like, we are the queen of burnout, especially as a projector. If you guys don't know, I'm a projector and then you're a sign. And it's a lot. Like, if I don't have someone's energy here that I can pick up on, I can get depleted really quickly. But I used to get so overwhelmed thinking about the bigger picture. And yeah, now it's like, okay, plan out the month, but then just take it day by day and like really celebrate the small wins. For me, like, I have to be in bed in time, and I have to get my workout out in the morning at least a few times a week. Because there's been times where I would just be so depressed or overwhelmed. Like, I just don't want to leave bed. And then your task and your duties go on the back burner, and then you get even more overwhelmed because you didn't finish it, and then you're just like, I just want to fall.
Yeah, I'm like that. Like, I can feel the energy. I think I've seen you come in here like just like down, but I can feel energy. That's good. We'll try to cheer each other up.
No, I'm actually feeling really excited and motivated for the new year.
That's good.
Aren't you?
Yeah, I'm ready. I think, like I said, this is the last month. We're trying to prepare. We're trying to figure out things. We're trying to strategize. There's big things coming also. Like, I don't want to spoil it right now. Maybe later on the next podcast, we'll talk about it. You know, it's a surprise.
Yeah, for me too. I'm excited. I think just consistency. Don't let yourself get out. Really, don't ignore like the one of putting yourself first.
You're human, so you have to think for you're human. You're not a robot.
Okay, so.
Is that number 9?
That was number 9. Well, the one thing I have on 10 here, I don't think it's a mistake a lot of businesses do, but it's a mistake that I did at the time, is I got rid of, like, some of my best products because I thought they would do, like, more updated enough.
Mm.
And just sort of took box was really successful. But I don't think I should have gotten rid of, like, the core product that made my business like what it
was. And then now you're bringing it back.
Yeah, I'm bringing it back. Some of it hasn't really left, and I'm really just wanting to elevate it and, you know, perfect the formulas and everything and have it ready for sale and marketed. Really just moving into 2024, I'm not doing the I feel like the profits were too low, the market's a little too competitive, and I mean, no, I'm still going to do a subscription box, but it's going to be my product, which
right.
is what was really popular at the beginning,
right.
instead of always trying to, you know, compete with like FabFitFun or Kinder Beauty Box, which don't have any of their own products, they just put other brands in the box, which is super exciting. And the reason why my subscription box was so successful is because we only partnered with other small businesses that were 100% organic. We both use fragrance, we use essential oils, safe and non-toxic for the whole family, which is a huge mission that we have to achieve before. But now it's like, all right, we're bringing my product. And that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think also with us, what do you think about, like, what are you doing with your price? I think that's one of the conversations we were having about trying to figure out, like, inflation, all this stuff's happening, materials, like, with you, like, chemicals and all that kind of thing. So, you know, especially organic.
I know.
Price.
Essential oils.
Yeah, so I think with us, we have to go with the economy. Prices up, we have to go up. That's how... You know, I think it has to be. Because, like, if you stay at a constant, like, oh, look at this, I don't think you'll survive. You know, I don't think that's just the right way. You always have to go with the times. Right.
I agree. So this year, both of our business, we got to raise the price. Kind of year by year. But
year by year.
Because as a small business, if your profit margins don't make sense, then your business.
Yeah. We've been doing hardcore research. I've been doing hardcore. And I've been doing a lot of spying on other businesses around me.
Product research.
Yeah, product research.
Market research.
And their price has gone up. And I kind of just like stayed in this area where like, I thought I was like, you know, a decent price, but they've gone up and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm like, I need to put my price up, you know, in all my service. And I also think it's important when you look at your labor, you know, everything adds up, you know, the time you're doing things, that's time. Time is money. I think that's one of the most valuable things. Time is money.
Time is money. For real. I used to get stuff.
Oh.
Sometimes I wish I could.
Right?
Get home at 3 and like have a solid paycheck and that's it.
That's it.
But like I think when you're born, that's like, I don't know. I know, but it is a lot, guys. But it's well worth it. We just have to learn from our mistakes. And the best businesses never give up.
Yeah.
Always be a big break.
I mean, just think about all of these other huge big companies now. ASOS, so just being a small office like this.
I know.
So with this weird science matter, you know, like, come on. Like, he went through a lot of debt and struggles and things like that, but I think that's part of it. And I honestly think whatever we've gone through is just...
Yeah. The roller coaster, and we're not getting on. But I couldn't be, like, more excited for the future. I learned a lot of lessons this year. And I've been really into, like, this is going to be my next contact topic, is manifest with God, with your self-concept, just raising your self-worth and your self-value in a permanent way, because I've done this over time in my life, but it never, like, stuck with me. And when you are on a higher vibration, a higher frequency, like, things just start running, like, sales. So for the past, like, 2 weeks, I've been doing a lot of, like, 2D magnetic work with Lisa Phillips and hypnotherapy with myself, and I just feel like such a quick change, and it's really exciting. So that's going to be on the next podcast. Like, for,
are you going to invite any therapists?
Well, I have an accountability partner, and I talked about it. I think she's great. Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
You have to invite these people that you're working with. It's making you feel better as a better person. That's good for other people.
Well, thank you guys for listening. If you are still here, I am going to put all of Marco's information in the show notes below, so you can follow him on Instagram, follow him on YouTube. He has a bunch of amazing YouTube videos. If you are local to Orange County and you want to screen print or embroider literally anything, for your small business or an event you have coming up. They've been busy nonstop, and the quality of their work is amazing. They actually did our self-love club flex. So I'm going to put all of that in the show notes. And if you're also here still listening, I do want to give my listeners 20% off the subscription box. Starting in January is going to be our signature product, and I would love for you guys to try it out and leave us a good review. It's all non-toxic, amazing bath and body. But I hope you guys learned something. And if you did, can you?
Yeah. I think the last thing I'm going to say is that follow your dream, follow your passion, but always remember, love comes first. So love yourself. Self love.
Yeah. Which is our mission here. We are on a journey to spark. Had it before, but I still love myself. But we are going to make it perfect.
Yes.
And unconditional forever. I mean, I've always.
For you.
Okay, we're signing out.
Signing out.
Have a good night, you guys. Or a good day.
Or, yeah. Peace. You did it.
That wasn't that bad.